I've asked a few people to read a scripture from the book of Colossians. I wonder if they'd come forward now. Eddie, I wanted to ask you, I understand it's your birthday today, Eddie. We'll sing to you later. I'm not going to sing to you right now. Eddie, do you mind coming and reading? Have you got a Bible with you? Can somebody lend Eddie a Bible? Actually, use mine if you want. That's fine. For some reason, Eddie, I just wanted to ask you to come. In fact, Eddie, you can be the first to read if you like. And the rest of you come forward now. Just maybe use this microphone. It's verse 6 and 7, Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. I've never done this before, but we're going to read the same scripture again and again and again and again and again. You okay with that? I don't know if that mic needs to come up. Does anyone need to fiddle with that mic, or is it all right?
I think you can probably hear
me. You can hear. Thanks, Eddie.
So Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, is headed, Freedom from Rules and New Life in Christ. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Thanks be to God.
Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, having been deeply rooted in him, and now being continually built up in him, and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude.
My counsel for you is simple. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving.
And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
This is the word of the Lord. Thought there'd be a few Anglicans there. Come on, should we try that again? This is the word of the Lord. Because it really is the word of the Lord. Do you know that? Yeah. I really sense the presence of the Lord here. And so I ask you just to trust me this morning. Is that okay? Thanks, sir. Yeah. Paul wrote these words. It was a letter. It's the book of Colossians. So it was to a church in Colossae. Interestingly, he didn't plant this church. He wasn't the pastor of it. In fact, he'd never even been. This was one of his letters that he wrote from prison. He wrote quite a few, didn't he, from prison? There's something in that for us. Yeah. Don't let your circumstances stop what you're carrying in the Lord, right? You might feel a bit imprisoned by some stuff, but the Spirit of God is never imprisoned, right? So Paul had a good friend called Epaphras. They worked together on their missionary journeys, and Epaphras was the pastor of this particular church. Epaphras, being a good friend, came and visited Paul in prison. And just like friends do, they're honest with one another, right? And this was, I guess, a leader-to-leader conversation as well. I'm driving Gareth crazy with the with what do you call that? It's a camera. I quite like sitting down talking to you, but that might freak some of you. I don't know. Sorry, it's just kind of where I'm at today. I feel like sitting rather than standing. But is it? Huh? No, a chair's too formal. I'm more of a floor girl, really. I like a rug. What? Take my shoes off and just. Thanks. Maybe that's it, because I just feel like I'm just chatting to you this morning rather than preaching to you. Is that okay? Can we cope with a chat? What was I saying? Epaphras, they're good friends. So Epaphras comes and visits Paul, and Epaphras starts to tell him about the church in Colossae. And he's concerned for it, and rightly so, because this church, and some of this will sound familiar now, some human thinking had crept in. Has that happened to you this week? If you don't know me, just forgive me that I'm quite emotional. Can you just forgive me for that? Okay, I'm all right. Don't panic about me. You don't have to run forward and give me a tissue or anything. I'm all right. But often when I'm in God's presence, my emotions just go with that. So I don't want to upset anyone. Or I don't want to cause you to feel uncomfortable. So I just, please don't worry about me. Is that okay? So Epaphras is saying, I'm concerned, Paul. And so Paul writes this letter. Isn't that a wonderful thing that he did? I just want to throw this out because little thoughts just come into me and I just think this may just land on someone. But do you know, Paul could have gone, not my church, not my problem. I didn't build it. We have a good habit of being very invested in what we've built, right? Whatever it might be, whatever. And we therefore have a good habit of turning a blind eye to something that's not our, well, you know. So Paul sits in prison and he takes the time and the effort under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to write this letter to this church that he's never been to, doesn't know. And actually, as I say, it doesn't have his name on the door. The church of St. Paul. This was Epaphras' church. Aren't we grateful that Paul wrote that letter, though? Don't we benefit from it? You see, within that letter is the words that I just read as we were worshiping a minute ago. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Wow, what a piece of poetry within this letter. That's what it is. If you've got your Bibles, have a look at it. What an incredible piece of poetry. Can you just imagine the moment as Paul's writing this, the inspiration from the Holy Spirit? Because that's what was happening. Some of you have moments like that. It's what songwriters have, right? That's what happens. Oh God, would you just increase that among us where we're just having moments. Maybe for you that'll look like sending somebody a text. Holy Spirit's just dropped this in my heart. Does it mean anything to you? Because it's just, you know, God, would you help us to just learn that a lot more? And so Paul writes this letter. And really it's quite a short letter. And he's writing to this church and he's going, I want you to stay rooted. I want you to stay rooted in the truth that you know. I want you to stay rooted in the fact that our God is mighty. Our God is awesome. Such an awesome God, so mighty, so generous. So do you understand what I'm trying to say? He says, I want you to stay rooted that when you sing How Great Thou Art, it's more than just a song that you sing on a Sunday morning. It's the core of your being. It's who you are. It's the knowledge of God that changes everything. It's so fundamental to who you are. If you've read any of Paul's letters, and because they do take up most of the New Testament, really, they all follow really similar themes, which is kind of expected, isn't it? I mean, you know, Paul is a person, and so he's going to have his passions and his things, and you know, so if you wrote a bunch of letters, there would be similar themes in your stuff, right? you'd get to know, oh, this is, you know, this is a letter from Norman. Yeah, we recognise what, you know, this is what really matters. And one of the things I love about Paul's letters is that they are full of Jesus. That might sound really obvious to say in church, but I want us to get a hold of this morning, that for Paul, Jesus was all that mattered. Is he all that matters to you? The very core, you cut Paul in half, and it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Jesus, he says this, doesn't he? For me, to live is Christ. And to die, well, that's even better. Because then I'm literally with him face to face. Paul was passionately committed in his love of Jesus Christ and for the work of Jesus Christ. And do you know why? Because Paul lived with an absolute certainty. In my notes, I've put it in a big block. Absolute certainty. Would you say those words with me? Absolute certainty. He lived with an absolute certainty in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Paul, there was no plan B. Well, I wonder if for us sometimes there's a plan B. Can we be honest enough this morning? For Paul, there was no plan B. He was sold out for this. Not because it was something that he had to do, not because it was a creed that he signed up to, but because he was passionately committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ had radically transformed and changed his life. And so he was able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There is no other way but Jesus. And running through all of Paul's letters is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, the power of the gospel. He begins every letter by explaining the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh God, would you give us here at Harbour Church and across this town of Folkestone, every believer, that we would have the absolute certainty of the hope we have in Jesus, an absolute certainty in the gospel, no doubt in the work of the cross, in the power of the resurrection, in the life of the Spirit, in the hope of resurrection life. No doubt, there was absolutely no doubt. I grew up listening to Andre Crouch. Anyone else here? Oh, he's not that old, is he? Maybe. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Remember that song? Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Am I really the only one? Thank you, Gerald. I see that hand. Google him. He was a great singer-songwriter. I can remember singing it as a teenager. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I stand before you today saying, I believed it with all of this. But I stand here now a few years on, having experienced a little bit more of life. Sitting and wrestling with some of the mysteries that you are sitting with this morning. Some of the questions and the confusion and the doubts, as well as the joys and the victories and all the brilliant stuff. I stand here a few years on with a few more grey hairs. And I want to tell you this, I believe that song more now than I've ever believed it. That Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Do you know in the book of Job, we read this, that I don't have time to tell you all the stories of this, but Job lived a really tough life, loads of suffering. In the midst of his suffering, he said, I will not stop worshipping God. I will not turn my back on God. And right at the end of the book of Job, you read this. He says, I'd heard about you, God, but now I see you. That's the difference, my friend. When suddenly it goes from being here to being here, when suddenly it's so real for you, and this was the passion that Paul had, when he was able to say, I am so passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other solution for Folkestone but Jesus Christ. I wonder if we really believe that, and I don't say that in judgment or condemnation, I ask myself the same question. And can I tell you, you're looking at someone who wrestles this a lot, And I'm very honest with God about my wrestle. But you're looking at someone who will not give up on that wrestle because I fundamentally believe with all my heart Jesus is the answer. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever life has thrown your way, there is only one answer, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. And Paul believed this. He lived for it his whole life. I was singing in the week as I was thinking about the power of the gospel. Matt Redman wrote a song a few years ago, and within it he said, "May I never lose the wonder or the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah." You know that song? More of you are nodding at that song than the Andre Crouch one. Isn't that a prayer? May I never lose the wonder of your mercy. I want to urge you this morning, church, and I want to remind us that there is one gospel, one Lord, one hope, one faith. His name is Jesus. He changes not. He will always be the answer. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're seeing in your world, Jesus will always be the answer. Is it really that simple, Sarah? Yes. 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 Is it really that simple? Some of you right now are going, "No, it's not that simple, Sarah." I want to tell you, it is. Oh, the workings out of it, I understand that. We could have a long cup of tea and a chat over that. But I want to tell you this morning, I, Sarah Weber, stand here today on whatever date today is, and I'm telling you there is only one answer to whatever you are facing in your life, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And the message has not changed in 2,000 years, and it won't change. Jesus is the answer. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an unbelieving believer. You know what David prayed in Psalm 86? He prayed these words, "Give me an undivided heart that I might fear you." In other words, what he's saying is, I don't want to be double-minded on this. James talks about that as well, doesn't he? James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. I've discovered that's the truth. Anyone here? You can go, yep, you can nod at me, talk to me. It's true. James is right when he says that. But there's something about, so I want to be wholehearted. I think Gareth already said that this morning, wholehearted. And David prays his prayer in Psalm 87. I want my heart to be whole. Give me, another version says, unite my heart. Isn't that beautiful? I wonder if anyone needs to pray that this morning. Unite my heart. Do you feel like your heart's just all over the place? Unite my heart, that I might fear your name. In other words, that I might know you, that I might walk in beautiful relationship with you. Let me have a united heart towards you. So Paul writes so many things in his letters, so many things. He instructs the church in how to live. His letters are full of doctrine, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. His letters are full of teaching to churches. Talks about how we should live, how we should love one another, how we should be. His letters are full of warnings and encouragement. But in this letter to the Colossians, he says this: I want you to be rooted and built up in the faith that you have in Jesus. Rooted and built up. In other words, he's saying this: it's not enough for you just to know the gospel. I want you to be so rooted in it that it changes everything. Does anyone remember the rock shop that we used to have in Folkestone down the old high street? It closed soon after we moved here, but I can remember walking down the old high street, standing at the rock shop, watching them make rock. Did it, Kate? Kate just said it took a filling out for her. Good old rock shop. But literally, that where you cut that rock, it has the same message running through it. This is what it means to be rooted, rooted. That whatever happens, you cut me in half. And I'm so rooted in him that you just see Jesus. You just see Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe it's possible. It's possible for all of us. Paul says, I want you to be rooted, so grounded in him. So convinced. Yeah. There's such beautiful biblical imagery around this. Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, Jesus teaching when he talks about the vine and the branches. There's so much biblical imagery around being planted, being rooted. This morning, really my message is a simple one. It's Jesus is the answer. Would you just stick with him? I had to sum it up, that's it. Be rooted in him. There's also warning in the Bible about what happens when we're not rooted in him. Remember the parable of the sower? Jesus talks there about seed that immediately, so people that receive God's word and for a moment or two, it's like, that's brilliant, but there's no root. There's no root. And because there's no root, it just withers and dies. Paul urges believers, and he says to us today, be rooted and established in the faith. Be rooted and established. Here's the truth, you see. No root, no fruit. I'm sure I didn't make that up. It's too corny, isn't it? No root, no fruit. You want to have fruit in your life? I'm going to be honest with you. You've got to be rooted. Where are you rooted? I could say a lot now that could get me into trouble, so I'm going to just try and curb it. Curb it, Sarah. But I just want you to know this matters. Where are you rooted? Where are you rooted? Psalm 1 is beautiful imagery. Blessed is the man who does not walk or sit or hang around with mockers. And in other words, people that don't honor God, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on him he meditates. He is like a tree planted by streams of living water. Whatever he does flourishes. When trouble comes, when the storms are there, he does not wither. He does not fall over. Jeremiah 17 is quoting almost the same words. When you're rooted, there is fruit. The question is this one, are you rooted? Are you rooted? You might say to me, Sarah, how do I get rooted? Oh, I could just throw out a few simple things. Can I tell you, would you get rooted in God's word? And would you get rooted with God's people? I've just been recently studying the life of Saint Benedict. Shared this a little bit with my Connect group online a couple of weeks ago. Never looked into his life before at all. One of the many things that mattered so much to Saint Benedict was this word stability. In fact, it was a vow for him, a vow of stability. And he had this revelation that I believe just came from the Holy Spirit, where he just said, we need to be anchored in our faith and anchored in one another, because no one journeys to Jesus alone. We all journey together. And so I want to ask you, where are you rooted? The Bible talks about being rooted in him and rooted together. Together we journey towards Christ. Paul says, I pray that you might be rooted and grounded in him. Jesus doesn't use the words roots. He used the words foundation. When at the end of his teaching, he tells the story of two builders, the wise and the foolish, and he refers to the wise one as building a house on a strong, firm foundation. In other words, rooted. Why don't you just say that word with me? Rooted. Rooted. Jesus says, if you're rooted in me, the storms will come, but I want to assure you, you will not fall. But the condition is that you're rooted. I want to ask you this morning, where are you rooted? Where are you rooted? Maybe you said to me, oh, Sarah, I was rooted, but I'm aware that over the last couple of years, I've allowed myself to get a little bit uprooted. I want to tell you then, maybe today's message is for you. It's time to get rooted again. It's time to get rooted. In other words, just stay. You know, if I go into the garden, I know nothing about plants, but my logic says, if I go into the garden where Gareth's worked hard and I think, oh, I don't like that plant sitting there. Right, let's pull it up. Let's pop it over there. And then, oh, no, I don't like it over there. Let's pull it up and let's pop it over there. I mean, Celia, you've got a wonderful garden. If I came to your house and did that, you wouldn't be too happy with me. Look, she's giving me the look. You know, let's just pick that up. Oh, no, I think I'm just going to plonk it over there. What happens? I'm breaking the roots all the time. The poor plant doesn't have a chance to live. The poor plant doesn't have a chance to actually be fruitful. God help us that we are rooted. Jesus says, be rooted in my word. Don't be a double-minded man, always changing your mind. Well, does the word of God say this, or does it say that, or does it say... Listen, question, wrestle with it, but settle in your heart. I believe in you, God. I believe in your word. I'm going to trust you. Settle it in your heart. Be rooted in the Word of God. Does it make sense? Do you know, the more I'm studying at the minute, the more I'm going, this is such a mystery. But that's just what it is. It's a mystery. But I choose to be rooted in the mystery. Is there anyone else like me? I choose to be rooted in the mystery. Because I don't know about you, but I've seen something and I can't take away what I've seen. I can't take it away. And I want to just challenge us again and say, it matters who you journey with. Who are you rooted with? Stay rooted. Stay rooted in Him. Stay rooted in one another. Stay rooted. I'm going to begin to wrap this up. Dave, you can come up now. I hope I've made some sense this morning. If you go into any supermarket right now, it's full of flowers, right? Maybe this is a reminder to some people. It's Valentine's Day tomorrow, so, you know, I'm just dropping that out there. I woke up this morning going, God, how shall I finish this sermon? And I just thought of all the flowers that I saw in Tesco's. The place is full of them, flowers. Aren't they beautiful? Do you know what it says on there? Freshness guaranteed for, I mean, this is quite impressive, 7 days. How long are you fresh for? You could take that question, just however you want to take that question. I'm not talking about your cleanliness. Did you shower this morning? You know, when I saw that in Tesco's, I thought, that's the challenge here. Thanks, Dave. But they're so beautiful, and they are beautiful. So beautiful. Do you know what the problem is? They've been cut from the root. And so they'll stay fresh for 7 days. Because they're cut from the root, they're going to die. And Paul says, I want you to stay rooted. I wonder if some of us are so desperate to look beautiful that we don't care about our roots. Because in my experience, the things that are rooted aren't quite as pretty as that. I'm really not a gardener, so I know you're all going, I know some of you are sitting there going, oh, Sarah, you're so stupid. You know, listen, just bear with me, all right? Humour me for this illustration. I want all the glossy paper. That looks so pretty. I don't want to just be a boring plant in Celia's garden that's just sitting there and, you know. George has got an amazing garden. But I tell you what, I don't want to just be around for 7 days. Oh, some of you should be going, yeah, me neither. I don't want it to be Sarah's lifespan was 7 days. For 7 days, she looked pretty, and then she was gone. 7 day wonder, 7 day Sarah. Because this girl here dares to believe that if I'm rooted in God, and if I'm rooted with you lot, that just maybe there'll be some fruit. That just maybe when I'm face to face with Jesus and I'm not face to face with you anymore, there'll still just be a little bit of fruit hanging around, because this girl chose to stay rooted in God's word and chose to stay rooted with you lot. And just maybe God honours that. Is anyone hearing me this morning? I don't know what you want. You want the flowers or you want the plant? I want to stay rooted. If I'd been organised enough, I'd get an image of a massive tree with roots. I recently went to Bedgebury and man, there's some trees there. They're proper old trees. Roots that grow down so deep, so deep, so deep, so deep. Oh, I love a forest. The trees going down. Isn't that how Jesus, the Bible describes us? Oaks of righteousness. Oh, that He plants us. Oaks of righteousness, how come? For His honour, for His glory, for the glory of the Lord. Anyone here want to be an oak? Why don't you stand to your feet if you want to be an oak? God, I want to be an oak. I want to be an oak. I want to be an oak. I don't want to be a bunch of flowers that's fresh for 7 days. I want to be an oak planted by the streams of the Lord, that whatever season I face, whatever's going on, I don't wither, but rather I flourish. I flourish. Isaiah says this. He says, the grass and the flowers, they fade. They fade, they wither, they're thrown into the fire, it says. But the word of the Lord stands forever. The flowers, 7 days and they're gone into my bin, compost. But the word of the Lord stands forever. What are you rooted in? Oh, it's pretty. But I want to tell you, there's more to life than prettiness. More to life than prettiness. Stay rooted. Jim, is Jim here? Would you just come forward and read what you read? The Bible. And just read it over us, Jim, as like a bang, you know? Like a this. Is that all right? Still got it. And if you want to, I think we need to get better at receiving God's word, so you might want to just open your hands. You know, in a way, that's what I like about this, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to receive this. I'm going to say amen. I think we need to honour God's word more than we do. So I think there's something about hearing God's word and saying, I'm going to receive this. So I want to invite you just to open your hands in some way and just go, I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to take this in. This matters. So I receive the word of the Lord right now as it's read over me. Thank you, Jim.
My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving.